Anything that uses a lot of water gets greater scrutiny in California after 4 years of drought. That includes the plan for Crystal Geyser to open a water bottling plant in the city of Mount Shasta. It's due to begin operations later this year. Already this year, water bottlers have come under fire for their practices in drought-stricken California. Starbucks Coffee opted to move its water bottling operation out of the state for now and bottle that water at its Pennsylvania plant instead. Crystal Geyser, however, is moving ahead with its Mount Shasta plans. We offered the company part of today's discussion. It opted not to take part today anyway. We do have with us Bruce Hillman, who's the founder of WATER, which stands for We Advocate Thorough Environmental Review. Bruce, welcome.
Welcome.
And Raven Stevens is with us as well. She's with the Gateway Neighborhood Association in Mount Shasta. Welcome, Raven. And we have Dr. Daniel Axelrod with us as well, a researcher at the University of Michigan who's been looking at studies, or the lack thereof, on things like water bottling plants. Dr. Axelrod, thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Okay, so Bruce, set things up for us first and just give an overview, if you would, about how long Crystal Geyser's had this plan in force. And I can say from just looking at the Google Earth images, that is a very, very big water bottling plant.
It is a very big water bottling plant. It was originally a bottling plant with Dannon and Coca-Cola from 2001 through 2010. But we learned about a year and a half ago that Crystal Geyser had bought the plant and was planning to open it. And we had been, many of us in the community had been very concerned even back when Coca-Cola and Dannon were operating that plant. But with the ongoing drought, we decided that it was really important that an environmental review happen before this plant opened. And Crystal Geyser has been, and unfortunately our local and county officials have been very reluctant to conduct an environmental review of what's happening if this plant can open. What are the effects on the aquifer? What is the effects of the plastic pollution and production? What are the effects on the local neighborhoods?
Which explains the name of your organization, We Advocate Thorough Environmental Review, or WATER. What are the requirements? Don't even call for an environmental review?
Well, California environmental law requires a trigger by a discretionary action by a governmental body, i.e. a county board of supervisors or a city council would have some type of motion or permit request that they can either approve or disapprove or have hearings on. And the county has always insisted that there are no discretionary actions required for that. And we've been challenging that for the last year and a half and saying that there are indeed many discretionary actions, and we've recently hired a lawyer who has written a letter to the county outlining all of the different issues that are very discretionary on the county's part. Mainly, we're challenging the zoning requirements of the property, which we maintain requires some discretionary action by the county, which would then trigger the need for an environmental review.
So in essence, you're telling the county you do have the power to say, hey, we would like this review, and they're saying, no, we don't?
That is correct. And we'll be probably, you know, we've sent a letter to the county. We're waiting to hear back their response on that. And, you know, if necessary, we'll have to take a legal action to force the county to basically require an environmental impact review.
And this, again, is under CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act?
Yes, it is.
All right, so you're seeking an environmental impact report, or EIR. As opposed to EIS and or EA, we get into terminology.
Right. I mean, this whole process has been rather complicated, and there's been back and forth between the county, the city. Unfortunately, the plant itself is right on the border of the city limits of the city of Mount Shasta, so the city is also trying to wash its hands of any kind of responsibility on that. But we also see that eventually Crystal Geyser will need to hook up to the city's wastewater treatment plant, which also could trigger a CEQA event.
All right. Raven Stevens, let's hear about you and the Gateway Neighborhood Association and what you're all about.
Yeah, sure, Jeffrey. It's we're about 220 parcels that surround the bottling plant. This entire area, we're all on our own domestic wells. We're not hooked up to city water. And during the Coca-Cola days, when they were pumping. Neighboring wells had water quality issues. They had mud, sand, and gravel when the plant was pumping at full capacity. We had reports of wells going dry and pumps burning out all during that time. And so what neighbors have been watching and listening carefully, and when Crystal Geyser came in and did their presentation to our larger Mount Shasta area, what we were told was, well, if you have any issues, you can come and talk to us. And that's in lieu of doing a real environmental impact report to see what the impacts of pumping would be. And we don't like to hear that kind of statement, because during Coca-Cola days, when people were having real issues, they did go try to get help. And not one time did a neighbor get any kind of relief from the water extraction process. And they had to take care of their problems themselves. They had to buy new pumps. They had to drill deeper wells. We have one neighbor who had to buy 5-gallon bottles of water to use in his own house. And interestingly, people's wells cleared up when the plant closed operation and shuttered in November of 2010. People's wells cleared up, even though we have obviously moved into more of an extreme drought during this time. Neighbors haven't had well issues since the plant's been closed.
So, Raven, when you talk about the company saying, come to us if you have problems, it sounds like an after-the-fact kind of thing, though. It's not like there'll be any work done beforehand to ensure that the wells are held harmless, but that if you're having something once we're already set up, you can come to us. Is that what you've heard both from Crystal Geyser and from Coca-Cola before them?
Right. And that's, you know, that's a corporation trying to pretend that they want to be a good neighbor and saying, yeah, come talk to us if you have an issue. And then the people would go talk to them, and then they wouldn't get anywhere. And frankly, that's a corporation's job, is to protect their bottom line, right? So they don't want to do an environmental impact report because they don't want the science. They don't want to be limited in how much they can pump. And they don't want real data about how it would affect neighboring wells, because then they might not get to do what they want to do. That's why they left Orland. Crystal Geyser tried to open a plant in Orland. The court ruled that they had to do a full environmental impact report, and they packed up and left. They didn't open a plant. They got courted to come up here to Mount Shasta, and now they're going to actually close all three of their plants down in lower Southern California and Calistoga. They're going to close all those plants and do their entire operation up here. And what that means to us, you know, in California, we're all waking up, number one, to the fact that we are in an extreme drought, whether you call it climate change or you don't. There's no getting around the fact that we haven't had snow here in the city in 2 years. We don't have the water that we used to have. And so to look at a bottling plant coming in that's unregulated and unmonitored, and they're going to tell you, oh, well, we're only going to pump X amount, but there's nothing on the books to stop them from pumping what they want to pump.
The figure I see is 365,000 gallons a day, and that comes from an AP story that ran in a couple of different news organizations. That's a lot of water. What is the aquifer? You did mention groundwater. This is not coming from the Mount Shasta City supply. This is just coming out of the ground, right?
This is. It's coming out of the ground. Dr. Axelrod can talk about, you know, what we know and what we don't know in the general area. But when you talk about 365,000 gallons a day, you know, to the average person, that sounds like a lot. Most of California is living on 200 gallons a day or less.
Per person? Mm-hmm.
Household, right? So if you do that math, that's for five households for an entire year in California, Crystal Geyser will pump that in one day. And that's enough use for five households in an entire year. So it's a frightening amount.
There's indeed a lot of water. We were talking about bottling water in Mount Shasta. Crystal Geyser proposes doing so starting later this year. We have with us Bruce Hillman, the founder of Water. We advocate thorough environmental review. You just heard from Raven Stevens at the Gateway Neighborhood Association. We're going to be talking as well with Dr. Daniel Axelrod, a researcher at the University of Michigan. You can join our discussion about the bottling plan for the bottling plant in Mount Shasta. 800-838-3760 throughout the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Dr. Axelrod, what has been the nature of your research thus far into what's going on in Mount Shasta?
Well, at the beginning of this issue, Crystal Geyser, through their consultant, which is called Geosyntec, said that the facility at Mount Shasta is very well evaluated and there's a good understanding of site hydrogeology. So I looked in detail at all of the publicly available reports, and it turns out that Geosyntec and Crystal Geyser's claims are incomplete, illogical. They were performed, the studies were performed for a different purpose than checking the protection of the aquifer. And they're also largely secret. It turns out that the geology of Mount Shasta, and particularly the hydrogeology, where the water flows, is not well understood at all. So if they pull something between 300,000 and, say, 1 million gallons of water a day out of there, it's not known at all how that will affect neighboring residential wells or nearby city-owned wells that are used to partially supply the Mount Shasta community with water.
I was going to ask you about the aquifer, and it sounds like there really isn't much known about it. So we don't know. I mean, obviously there's lots of water in the glaciers up on the mountain itself, but those are miles away. And are those necessarily the source of this aquifer?
Well, actually, the permanent glaciers on Mount Shasta are around on the other side. Mount Shasta City and this plant are on the southwestern side, and the glaciers of Mount Shasta are on the northeastern side. So it's not glaciers that are likely supplying the water. It's based on snowmelt from each winter, and of course it takes some time for the water to come down, so there's a delay. But nevertheless, it's not, probably not, like in the Central Valley where water just accumulates in sort of an underground pool called an aquifer. But instead, it's likely that the water runs in lava tubes that were formed hundreds of thousands of years ago and get channeled in various directions. So if you drill in one place, you might hit a lava tube and get lots of water. If you drill in another place fairly nearby, there might be very little. So Crystal Geyser has their production well drilled very deep, apparently into some sort of lava channel. The neighboring wells, they may or may not be depleted because of pulling all that water out where Crystal Geyser is pulling it. Crystal Geyser claims no problem, but the fact is they never actually tested to see what the response is in neighboring wells.
Crystal Geyser did not drill any new wells. Is that what I'm hearing here?
Not recently. The well that they're talking about using has been there through the Dannon and Coca-Cola days. But I might add that this is not just a reopening of an existing plant. When Coca-Cola shut down operations in 2010, then they moved all of their equipment out and left nothing but an empty building. So this is not just a reopening something that was already there. This is just an empty warehouse building that is being refilled with new equipment. So it needs to be evaluated from the beginning.
All right, so not like Crystal Geyser is just coming in and flipping a switch to resume the operation that Coca-Cola had. It's all new stuff.
Right. That's right.
Okay,
they also have, Jeffrey, they also have basically, from their own reports, they have three high-production wells that they can draw from. And, you know, according to state law, there's nothing stopping them from drawing from all three of those wells at any point they want to.
What does the 365,000 gallons that is talked about here, where does that stand in contrast or comparison to what Coca-Cola was doing in its plant that closed in 2010?
Well, they never had to report what they were drawing, number one.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're comparing it to is just a number. When they went to look at what Coca-Cola was actually pumping, they took electrical records and tried to figure out how much they were pumping. And it just depends. I mean, at the maximum, they were pumping over 400 gallons per minute. But no matter what they report to you, what they say they're going to pump, they are not obligated to keep it at that amount. That's the issue.
All right, we were talking about Mount Shasta and the plans to bottle water there. Crystal Geyser wants to open up the water bottling plant later this year, pumping 365,000 gallons of water a day from the groundwater and putting it in bottles and sending it away. Obviously, you're hearing some concerns here. We have Raven Stevens from the Gateway Neighborhood Association, Dan Axelrod, a researcher at the University of Michigan, and Bruce Hillman from Water. We advocate thorough environmental review. We'll take about 15 minutes more with this segment, so you can certainly join it on the exchange, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Bruce, Raven had mentioned earlier that there was some courting going on to bring Crystal Geyser in. Was there an economic development sort of effort that lured Crystal Geyser in or made it attractive for them to come in?
Yes. The Siskiyou region, I forget their acronym. The
Economic Development.
Yeah, the Siskiyou Economic Development Group did some efforts to bring Crystal Geyser into this area, and they really didn't let anybody else in the community know that they were doing this. I mean, the first time we learned that Crystal Geyser had was planning to move into this area was when there was a ribbon cutting ceremony announced in the paper, and we really wished we had heard about this earlier so we could have offered some input into the desirability and the needs for such a plant here, or reopening such a plant during a drought. And one of the reasons, we really see the need for a EIR is that without an EIR and, mitigations in place, there are no basic limits or restrictions on how much water they can bottle or produce out of that well. Because if they become profitable and they want to expand the business, there's nothing to limit them to their current stated two production lines pulling 365 gallons a day. And if you look at the Crystal Geyser Roxanne plant in Weed, California, which is about 10 miles south of us, that plant has expanded three different times in the course of its operations, and we have no idea how much water they're pulling out of the out of their production wells in Weed.
That potentially gives you a comparison, though, with somebody in a, I would assume, similarly geological kind of area. So what kind of reports do you get from neighbors of that operation?
Well, there are no immediate neighbors. I mean, it's sort of located sort of southeast of town, so there are no there's no residential neighbors directly around there, and we haven't heard of anything from those areas as far as well reports go. But it also just points out that the geology is somewhat unknown. And, I mean, we see the need for really having an environmental study so we can find out what would be the effects if this plant opened and some mitigations in place. If there were damages, what will be done to prevent them, i.e., restrictions on water pumping if wells begin to go dry, or mitigations around that issue.
So, Raven,
and along that line,
go ahead, Daniel.
Along that line, during the operation by Coca-Cola between 2007 and 2010, Their own production well suffered a fairly minor loss of water, about 1 foot. But one of their monitoring wells, which is drilled much more shallow in a depth that neighboring wells are dug, at the same time suffered a 6 foot drop. So it may be that when you pull water out of a deep well, it has a much larger effect on the wells that are dug more shallow, which is where the residents are getting their water.
Raven, I was about to ask about when Bruce talked about the ribbon cutting at the plant. I imagine there's been a bit of discussion since that time. I mean, what kinds of mobilization has there been around the community? What kind of response have you gotten from city leaders in Mount Shasta? And what would you assess as the overall mood about Crystal Geyser opening up?
Well, it just depends on who you ask, frankly. The neighbors have real concerns because they had issues when Coca-Cola opened. So there are real concerns. Now, the problem is that our volcanic aquifer, you could have a neighbor having severe water quality issues and three doors down, somebody doing just fine. And that is the result of a volcanic aquifer. It doesn't, you know, we're not just all dipping into the same pool of water necessarily. So that's an issue. In town, you know, it's kind of split down the middle. Some people aren't concerned, but I think they're not concerned about the water issue because mainly they're on city water. And, you know, in our area, there's this mindset that we are water rich here in Mount Shasta. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that we haven't had the kind of snow that we're used to. The city of Mount Shasta's spring water is at historic lows. They've never seen lows like this in their production. And so, you know, we're trying to get help. The city says they want to help us. They also want to court Crystal Geyser to get those connection fees.
All right, hold the thought, because we have to come back to the discussion. Back with our discussion about Mount Shasta bottled water with Bruce, Raven, and Daniel in a minute five. It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. We've extended our initial discussion this hour about the issue of Crystal Geyser trying to open up a water bottling plant in the city of Mount Shasta, right on the edge of the city of Mount Shasta, purportedly to pump out 365 million gallons of water a day, which concerns people who have wells nearby. And as we're hearing from some of our guests, there's probably about a 50-50 split in the city of Mount Shasta from their perception. Raven Stevens is with the Gateway Neighborhood Association. Bruce Hillman is the founder of Water. We advocate thorough environmental review. Daniel Axelrod is a researcher at the University of Michigan. And you can join the discussion at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, email address jx@jeffnet.org. Raven, as we went to the break, you were saying something about the city of Mount Shasta being interested in collecting connection fees.
Yeah, you know, they want the connection fee from Crystal Geyser. There's a $3 million amount that's been toted around. And, you know, it's a small city. They need the money for infrastructure. You know, and most people that are concerned really just want the studies, because we think that knowledge is power. And what's wrong with understanding our aquifer, understanding the effects that water extraction have, and protecting the neighbors if indeed they do have issues that come up while pumping is happening? And we don't really understand why the City Council of Mount Shasta and the Board of Supervisors really seem completely unconcerned about neighbors' real issues.
All right, well, I want to point out to the audience again, we did invite the folks from Crystal Geyser to come on and talk about this. They chose not to do so today. They may at some point in the future. Let's take a call here from Vicki in Mount Shasta. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Raven, Bruce, and Daniel.
Hi. Well, I just really appreciate you having them on the show, and I wanted to say, you know, I represent a group called Water Flows Free in Mount Shasta, and there are people from outside the area who are very concerned about this as well. When we did some research about this, we discovered that the other element that's really important to discuss is that Coca-Cola in Massachusetts fouled the Connecticut River when they put in sticky, juicy drinks. They switched from water to Minute Maid lemonade, and they did not know that would foul the treatment plant, which is already compromised here. The other thing is that the phthalates from the rinsing of the plastics is not removable. People don't, they think everything is removed in a wastewater treatment plant, but that just isn't the case. And those phthalates are endocrine disruptors that cause havoc with the downstream snails, animals, humans. They're finding that in the cord blood of babies, and they're finding 90% have phthalates from the plastics. And the PET is what's planned to be used here in this plant, not the glass bottles that are used in the juice squeeze that they ultimately intend to pump. The other thing is they intend to use the leach field, which was allowed, we believe, in error by the county to allow 108,000 gallons of effluent to be in a very porous type soil called Deep 125, which filters right into the aquifer, and that has been contaminated in the past. They're planning on using that plus the sewer, so we feel that the city has every right to do a complete environmental review about the effluent and the plant.
All right, Vicki, thanks for the thoughts. Appreciate it. So, Bruce, I want to come to you because you're the one advocating for the environmental review at Water. We advocate thorough environmental review. Is it just a review of what goes on with the water, or are you looking for larger impacts like some of the ones that Vicki talked about, like the phthalates and...
Right. I mean, the water is, of course, the very important, if not the most important issue, but there's also issues of their manufacturing of plastic bottles. You know, by the amount of water they're planning to pump minus the amount they're saying they will dump as wastewater, I've calculated sort of roughly that that would be like something like 300,000 plastic bottles a day would be produced at the plant here. And so the issues of, you know, plastic bottle production, and then the disposal of the rinse water and effluent from that production is a major environmental concern, as well as, you know, other issues would be covered in an environmental review, such as the noise from the plant, the light. You know, this is a rural area with, you know, important nighttime sky issues.
It's on the north edge of the city of Mount Shasta, right?
Correct. It's right 50 feet, it's right on the border of the north of the city of Mount Shasta. And so there's issues of light. The air conditioning units on the roof went under the Coca-Cola operations were very noisy and would, you know, basically force people to keep their windows closed at night and caused a huge amount of noise, as well as the issue of truck traffic, you know, coming in and out.
And any projections on the amount of truck traffic?
They currently say 25 truckloads, you know, in and out per day, although that is just based upon what they've said would be two production lines. But there's nothing to say, nothing to prevent them from expanding if they decide they would decide to, you know, be more profitable or, you know, they have good sales. And, I mean, that's sort of part of the issue here is, you know, if these kind of plants, you know, can open without any kind of environmental review, it could open the floodgates in this area for water extraction. You know, if companies realize it's, you know, like the Wild West here as far as water, you know, industrial water extraction.
Are there other proposals, as I understand, from Mark and Matt Shasta Rice to ask about proposed plants on McLeod and Dunsmuir? Are those also still in the works?
Well, there is... currently, someone is putting forward a plan in Dunsmuir, in McLeod, to open up a small water bottling plant. A few years ago, Nestle was planning to open a water bottling plant in McLeod, and local neighbors there challenged that, fought it for about a year and a half, and eventually Nestle pulled out and decided not to open their water bottling plant there because of the opposition of the local neighborhoods, and as well as intervention by the California Attorney General, have raising some questions about the need for an environmental review.
All right, let's take a call here. We have Linda in Sacramento on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Bruce, Raven, and Daniel.
Hey, Jeff. My name's Melinda, and I live in Mount Shasta, and I'm also in Sacramento right now. One of the concerns that a lot of people have is the Mount Shasta headwaters, Big Springs, which is right below the Crystal Geyser plant, is the beginning of the Sacramento River. So not only does what Crystal Geyser, what they do in Mount Shasta, affect the Mount Shasta water and the Mount Shasta residents and the environment, but it also could affect everything that flows south, that fills up Lake Shasta, which in a drought is very low right now. If you've driven across it, it's at a capacity I've never seen before. And all of the things that happen up there will affect the Sacramento River that goes south past Redding, down to Sacramento, down to the Central Valley, so that if that aquifer gets contaminated or it gets fractured and water can't flow as it is right now, it's not only going to affect those people in Mount Shasta, it's going to affect all of the Sacramento River.
All right. Thanks for that. Appreciate it, Melinda. Dan Axelrod, just at a minimum, if you were advocating what kind of environmental review to get done here, would it start with hydrogeology?
Yes, that would be at a minimum, because Crystal Geyser really doesn't know, and nobody else knows, what effect a pumping of at least 365,000 gallons a day would be. But there's also another important point. It's mainly a plastics molding factory that they're talking about, and anyone who's worked in a plastics molding factory knows there's a tremendous amount of plastic film that's produced. So in a rural area that's dependent on tourism, putting a heavy industry like that is not going to be good for the tourism or the economy.
All right, final question for you, Raven Stevens. Has there been any contact with the legislators who represent the area to see if they can put some pressure on state agencies, or are they all about the jobs and the environmental development, economic development?
Yeah, primarily the representatives I've contacted are all about the jobs, and basically what they've said is if neighbors have issues, their best bet is rather than trying to get help from the company or suing them, our best bet, they suggest, is that we just dig a deeper well. And we think that's completely, completely wrong.
All right. More to be said on this down the road. We hope Crystal Geyser will give us a chance to ask them some questions as well. Raven Stevens is with the Gateway Neighborhood Association. Dan Axelrod's a researcher at the University of Michigan. And Bruce Hillman's the founder of Water. We advocate thorough environmental review. Thank you all for joining us. We'll be talking more down the road about bottled water in Mount Shasta.